Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place of you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be.
February 22nd, 2020, and we are in the fourth, well, this is the fourth Saturday of the month. Praise the Lord, we got one more week left. This month has five Saturdays, and certainly we are glad to be on Blog Talk Radio this morning sharing. We are Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome to each and every one that has taken the time to be online this morning. I want to say that I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. I want to thank my co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, who has been hosting the show this month. And I want to thank all of you, all of the loyal supporters that were there on last Saturday as we had a celebration of life for her mother, Mother Annie Harris, who went on to be with the Lord. And again, I want to thank each and every one of you, every card, every text of condolence, every Facebook note that text me concerning the loss of my aunt, Mother Orlie Barnett. And we certainly had her funeral the 1st of February. And these are two mothers that have gone on to be with the Lord, and certainly we have been in this whole month of February dealing with this issue, dealing with life and death, and talking about grief and loss, because certainly at some point we all will have to leave here today. Not today, but someday. So I want to thank all of you that shared with us, that sent cards, that sent uplifting notes on Facebook to encourage us in our loss. So, as usual, I want to shift to our announcements. Praise the Lord. You still have time to register at Monument of Faith for my course. I'm the dean of the School of Pastoral Care and Christian Counseling. Now, if you don't register by the end of this month, the course will not take place, and certainly we won't be able to teach. So, again, this is the last week. You have up until the end of this month, up until actually March 1st, which March 1st is around the corner and on a Sunday, to register for the Richard Daniel Hinton University. And you have to be specific. If you want to take my course, it's the Pastoral Care and Christian Counseling course. That's the only way that it'll be offered. So as of now, we have not obtained the required student body to teach this course. And certainly this was going to be an exciting course, dealing with generational curses and generational blessings, and looking at the bloodline and looking at how it affects our emotional stability, and then beginning to reconstruct our emotions, ourselves, to fall in line with who we are and who God says we are. But praise the Lord, anyhow, if you still want to register, give me a call at 309-750-7584. I will be happy to direct your calls and give you more information. Matter of fact, give you an application and everything, because I do have all that information. But so let's get into the lesson, shall we? We thank God. Let us pray before we get into this lesson. Father God, I thank you for this information. I thank you, God, for comforting our hearts as we begin to explore and look at your word and apply it to our everyday walk. And God, Holy Spirit, be with us. Guide us and lead us. Hide us behind the cross. Don't let us stumble on our words. But God, give us clarity, give us understanding, and give us direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're just going to get to it. We have been dealing with grief and loss. We have talked about many topics. The first week we talked about grief and loss. My enemy has been destroyed. We've talked about being absent from the body but being present with the Lord. We've talked about many things regarding to grief. So in essence, we are going to deal with on this Saturday, caught up together with them in the cloud. So let's read the scripture, shall we? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17 through, 13 through 17, and this is the King James Version. It reads, but 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus Christ will God bring with him. 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, there's some other verses I want to read. 1 Timothy 1:17 reads, "For now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And of course, 1 Corinthians 15:24-26 reads, "Then cometh the end when we shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when we shall have put down all the rules and all authority and powers." 25, "For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death." So we have been talking about grief and loss. We have been really just pondering this issue because so many of us are dealing with the death of a loved one. Whether we want to deal with it or not, we're dealing with it. And certainly it's a big issue. And certainly when we look at death and we look at our loved ones who have have been blessed to get to the age of 87. I don't know how old Mother Harris was, but she was a mother in Zion, and certainly she had children, and certainly she has been a blessing to those that she has come in contact with. So we know that she was seasoned. My aunt, who died at 87 years old, we can say, and you know, you hear a lot of people that say, wow, you know, they lived a long time, a good age. And the Bible says, well, you know, you're only promised 70. And a little bit more by reason of good health. And when you look at a score, 70, score is 20. So, score is 20. So, 70 is 60. And then 10 is 70. So, when you look at a person obtaining or getting to the age of 70, you say, wow, praise the Lord, they have obtained, they have arrived. And if they get beyond that, the comfort of a person you hear will say, well, you know, they lived their life. But when you get to a person like Kobe Bryant and his daughter, and then you look at the nation and how we grieve the loss of that couple, that young man who seemingly was so productive, who seemingly changed his life around for the better, who was grooming his daughter to be an entrepreneur and a basketball star. And then you look at it, even in the city of Chicago, if we turn on the news, we see that there have been violence and murder and killing happening all in the city, and you're wondering what is going on. You say, well, these young people, these babies, these kids have not been able to live their lives, and you wonder what is up, what is really happening. So then we're looking at all these things that are going on, and once you be exposed or once you begin to see people are leaving here, then that's a loss. Then that creates grief.
Hello, everyone. Sorry about that. Apparently, I was disconnected. The enemy is alive. So those of you that called in, you can call back in. That have that have hung up, please call back in to finish our show. enemy is alive. Apparently, I guess he doesn't want the material to be to get out that I'm dealing with. So anyway, we even went through the stages of grief, and that's where we left off. I thank God for those of you that stayed on the line when we went through our technical troubles. He is the enemy. He won't have the victory. Let's just say it like that. So we said the stages of grief, and we talked about that on February 1st. We went through it in detail. So if any of the information that you want to listen to, you can always go back to Blog Talk Radio, Destroying the Yokes of Bondage, and find any episode, any topic that I have talked about, and listen to it again. Thank God the Lord has blessed us to have listeners over in Australia and various countries, so you can listen to this word again. And I just hit brief reviews, because you can go back and hit it. So when we look at the stages of grief, we look at denial, shock, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. So we also took the second, and we finished up, and we continued to look at death and dying, or death and loss. And we really looked at the fact that there is a separation. What's going on when we look at the person in the casket, person that's doing the mortician will fix them up really nicely, and we say, oh, well, they look like they fell, but it's always something uniquely wrong. Something is like they are no longer there, because we talked about being absent from the body. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the second week we talked about the fact that that's just the body. That's just the shell, and that we are made in the image of God, and God is a spirit, and part of us is spirit and our soul, and our spirit and our soul never dies. So once the death angel comes and he takes our loved one on and they make that transition, the body is still there, because the body has to go back to the ground. Hallelujah. And, you know, the Lord is also making a way for us to have a holy and celestial body when he comes back on the second time. So that body is just simply the flesh of the person. But that soul and that spirit has to go back to the Creator in which it was given, and that is the Lord God. Hallelujah. Because God is spirit, the angels are spirit, and when God formed man, you know what he did? He formed man out of the dust, but then he blew into man's nostril, and man became a living soul, and that's Genesis 2:7. And certainly, we find in Genesis 3:22 that Adam is called a living soul, and that's because God planned for us to live forever. But then we got down into sin. In that third week, we talked about the spirit of heaviness, and I'm going through this to get to where I'm going, so bear with me. We talked about Isaiah 61 that says, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we explored all that. We broke it down, what heaviness is, the quality, the quantity, and how it's a weight, it weighs us down, and how there are times when we just can be excessively mourning. And certainly I talked earlier when I said that when that person is older, you can say, well, and that person is older and sick, you can justify your feelings. You can justify your loss and your grief by saying, yeah, they're older, they're 87, they lived their life, they were hurting and they were always in pain. They're no longer in that condition anymore. Praise God, hallelujah. God has taken them on, and certainly if I live right, I'm going to see them again. Amen? So when we look at all these things and we look at how we can justify it, how we deal with it. Now, in the case of Kobe Bryant, I keep using him because he was a greatly known figure that died at 41 with his young daughter, plus seven other individuals and kids that have not had the opportunity to live. So then we're looking at a different type of grief that is more painful, that is more agonizing, you know. And some of the people said, well, the wife couldn't even say a sentence without crying. That's how grief affects us. That's the heaviness of grief. But then we're coming into the caption of what we're dealing with today, which is caught together with them in the clouds. Now, we can face death without fear. When we look at Psalms 23 and 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We also know that the perishable will put on imperishable. Death will be swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 57, and this is the New Translation. It says, then, comma, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scriptures will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ. Well, y'all, death is a bully. It does not act right. It does not come when we expect it. It's not on your time frame. It's not on your agenda. It brings confusion. It brings sadness. But here is the thing that I want you to know today. We have victory in Christ Jesus. We have the victory. Hallelujah. So when we look at death and when we look at stumbling over what I was reading, yeah, forgive me. So when we look at death, you know, death, that wasn't the original plan for humanity. God made us in such a way that he created us to live and not to die. But you know what happened? Adam received the breath of life, and I'm backing up to Adam. He received the breath of life, Genesis, like I said before. It was not until Adam and Eve sinned that death arrived. Death is difficult because it is a loss, real, and it's painful because one is gone, and it is symbolic because it reminds us of the loss of innocence, sin, and punishment. Death is distasteful and dreaded by us. You know, some of us, you know, but there's a difference. You know, when you look at the world, And now, you know, some people say, well, look, I'm just, I'd rather be in the afterlife and not here. We, you know, now there's a glorified issue of death and suicide being suicide, and people would rather not live than to remain here on earth. And that's a different topic, of which I'm not going to get into. But when we look at death, and when we look at the separation, God describes it as a getaway to a glorious new death. So when we look at death, and when we look at dying, when we're looking at being caught up with the Lord, and we're looking at that transition we make from being on earth then to being caught up with the Lord, there is that transition. We're no longer here. We're going to be with our Creator who made us. But still, human sees death as a journey. God sees it as a beginning of a journey to a better life. So there's a difference. But we want to be clear. If we don't have a relationship with Christ Jesus, I don't know who may read or who may listen to this. If we don't have a Christ, if we don't die in the Lord, if we don't die asking God to forgive us of our sins and confessing Christ and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we get out of here, then we are not going to meet the Creator. We're not going to be with God. Just have to make it plain and simple, because I hope somebody will hear this blog and accept Christ as your personal Savior. That is our hope, to be caught up in the air, to be caught up in the air with our brothers and sisters that have gone on. You know, Andre Crouch have made several songs that talked about heaven and talked about leaving here and talking about what it may look like on the other side. And so certainly when we look at that, we are comforted to know that those of our loved ones that have died in Christ Jesus, we're going to see them in the clouds. But those that have to deal, or those that are bereaved, ask these questions. Why did God take him away? Why did I get mad at her before she left the house? What was I thinking when I left him or let him go without me? What if? What then? Why? So we ponder these questions. And sudden death can lead to a complicated grief that leaves feelings of anger, guilt, and abandonment. And, of course, we see it in the media. We see it, those of our loved ones that get killed or die unexpectedly. We see the people are crying. They don't understand. They don't know what to do. They often are lost. Now, denial may follow quickly, and the bereaved person may start originally doing things like washing the dishes or balancing a checkbook, and this is to reestablish some normalcy about themselves. Denial is unusually broken when that person must face up to the many decisions that follow a death. So let's look at some things about this, shall we? Some biblical insights. Trying to find my way here. Okay. 2 Samuel 12:23 says, "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I should go to him, but he should not return to me." So this is David talking after the death of his and Bathsheba's son. David, consolation was eventually that he would get to go with his son. He's grieving the loss. He's praying. And, of course, we know the story of Bathsheba and David, and this is their first child. And David consulted to murder the husband of Bathsheba and he became her husband. Well, this is that child. But David grieved. David grieved the loss. David put on sackcloth and ashes and went before the Lord to pray and to seek his guidance. And we know the child died. So in essence, after they told him that the child was dead, David went on back to his regular life. And the thing he says here is, you know, he's gone. There's nothing I can do about it. But hopefully one day that I will be able to be reacquainted with my son. So that was his rationale. That was his thinking during that time. He was taking hope, and his faith in God will bring him to see his little one again. So when we look at Psalms 116 and 15, reads, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Hallelujah. Precious, 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 precious. Hallelujah. God says precious. God says precious are those that die in him, those that have made their sacrifice, those that have worked and labored hard in the Lord, those that have sought the Lord, those have accepted God as his Savior, those that feel God and know God, and God sees us as precious when we leave this life and when we go to see him, because the word says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That was our second message on February the 8th. Please listen. Hallelujah, because we got really into it. Hallelujah. It is sad when loved ones die, and it is natural to grieve. But God says that the death of a believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. For believers, death is merely a gateway unto a home in heaven where we ultimately belong. You know, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I may have gotten out of order. Please forgive me. I don't want to do that. But it's John. Hallelujah. Certainly there are many mansions, and the Lord wants to prepare a place for us. And when we die and go and leave this earthly realm, the only way we can see it, the only way we can obtain it is through leaving this present life and dying and going to see with the Lord, to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now Christ, and I'm 1 Corinthians, so I'm going to chapter 15, verse 20 and 22. Praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. And it reads, but now Christ is risen from the dead, comma, and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Praise the Lord. Christ has done something for us. He is the first one. And then if we go down to the 23rd verse, it reads, but each in his own turn, Christ, comma, the first fruit, then when he comes, those who belong to him. So he's going to take us up. We've got this guarantee. We got this promise that if we live right, heaven belongs to us. Come on, that's a song. If you live right, heaven belongs. So we got this reassurance that we're going to see him. So Jesus brought the promise of resurrection from the dead. He establishes this by becoming human, dying, and then raising again. 1 Corinthians 15 and 26. Someday in God's new creation, death itself will be destroyed. The last enemy will be destroyed is death. And this is what I've been talking about. Death will be destroyed. So we must all be ready to die, ready to stand before God, and ready to thank him for all he has done and giving us salvation. So we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. And certainly we talked about this on the second week in February, to be absent from the body, but to be present. So we're looking for that. We're looking for God's image. We're looking for this body to die, but to be caught up with the Lord in the sky, to be caught up with him on that great day when he shall come again and he shall take all of us back. You know, we're talking about it, but certainly there's so much to this. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about now, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Believers, we can face death with confidence, knowing that God is waiting for us, that we can say like Paul, that I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. You know, when we look at Revelation 14:13, it says, and this is the New Translation Version, I have heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, from their good deeds, and their good deeds follow them. So our good deeds will follow us if we have that relationship with Christ Jesus. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, that they may rest from the labors and their works follow them. This chapter in Revelation paints a picture of a stark contrast of eternal life with God or eternal life without God. So the question is where will I be our destination? Whether it's going to be with God in eternity or, you know, saying down heaven to hell. I'm just going to make it plain. Those that are dying, those of our kids, you know, we have to cry and we have to plead the blood. We have to lamentate for those of our loved ones that's dying in the street, because the reality is that we all have to die. The question is whether or not after this world, where are we going? Where is the destination? Where will we spend eternity? Because Scripture is plain to say that God is going to come back. And when God comes back, this body, this old body, is going to be changed in a twinkling, in a moment. We will be caught up in the clouds to meet him. We know that the Scripture says the dead shall rise first. Hallelujah. But we are going to meet him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So looking at our own grief, then David lamented with the lamentations over Saul and over Jonathan, his son, 2 Samuel 1:17. Expressing grief is a very heavy response to grief. Expressing sorrow is a very heavy response to grief. David poured out his sorrow words that honored the anointed king and his son. Putting grief into words is a healthy way to handle the pain and honor those who have died. He's despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Truly, he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Isaiah's words communicate the suffering of one who loved us and died for us. In our deepest moment of grief and loss, we need only look to him on the cross and realize that he understands. He alone can heal the wounded heart. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? John 11, verses 25 through 26. Because of sin, death came to all. And that's Romans 5, verses 12 through 14 reads, "And when Adam sinned, sent into the world, Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment from God as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. Many try to ignore death, not wanting to think or talk about it, but feared or embrace it, expected or not. That happens. Jesus experienced those emotions at the death of his good friend Lazarus. Jesus knows the pain of loss and deep sorrow. He knows the incredible power of death. It is natural to feel sad and mourn the death of a loved one. But in our time of sorrow, we can let Jesus hold us in his compassionate arms, knowing that he understands. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest he sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 14. The Thessalonians wondered about what would happen to those that died. And believers have this ultimate assurance that we who believe in Jesus or who die in Christ will rise again and ascend with Jesus on his second coming. Revelations. And Jesus said, "Wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things are passed away." Revelations 21 and 4. And let me get to this. Revelations has described a better time, a better place where grief and loss will not exist. So no matter how we experience on this earth death and loss, God has promised that in the future that death will have no more sting, and we will have victorious time being in God's presence. Although we go through some hard times down here, we can look to the future and know that he holds our hands. Let's pray. Lord, we wish to understand your thoughts, your plans, but sometimes we admit that we don't get it. We don't understand why you would take our loved ones from us. We don't understand why you would allow this thing to happen, whether it be unexpected death or something that occurred that has separated us, when you know that it would do to us. Yet, God, we trust you. Our hearts are heavy, but we love you, and we know that you will bring us through, and that because your son came and he died on the cross for us, we know that we can see our loved ones again. We know that you will make it right and that you will continue to heal and deliver us from all our hurts and our pains, and that even through everything that we've gone through, that you will be our comfort, that you will be our guide, and that you will be with us through our sorrow, through our pains, through our loss. And we thank you, God, that you, through the Holy Spirit, will comfort us, and that you will guide us, and that you will lead us, and that we will be strengthened through your presence. See you next week. God bless.